Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hit 'em high, and you hit 'em low, hit 'em low.
Going straight to the hole. Your wife's got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Looking to take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take a earthshaker, 3-point gun in this. Get off the lane. I'm coming through, and if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step, I'm closing in on your position, and destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough, the whole squad better tough. It's like Swiss when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rango. Tell me who wanna tangle with together with Stock, the neighborhood superhero.
Came to bring the ultimate pain upon the brain, untamed. You will like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. As free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up out my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Doc? The monster funk.
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the ref get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, top of flavor, fluid, no drink floating.
What is going on? Welcome once again to another installment of the Rocky Sports Breakdown. And as you can see, you're probably wondering, wait a minute, is this a Wednesday night? No, it is not. We are on air today at a special time from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. today with coverage of our last Wednesday show. And for those of you who missed it, we got into our big topic, which was the release of the 2014 upcoming NFL schedule. from weeks 1 through 17, who's going to be playing who. We officially know now the first game is going to take place on a Thursday between the Packers and the defending Super Bowl champion Seahawks. Could that game be called Fail Mary 2? We all know what happened the last time those two teams took the field against each other. So, and that will be the first game that will take place this year. So it should be a good game. Either way you look at it, it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be interesting to watch. And I'm geared up for the season anyway, regardless of who's going to play each other in the first game. I'm just ready. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. So, that being said, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. And you have to remember that prior to Wednesday, we pretty much knew who some of the matchups were. We just didn't know who was going to be playing each other on what night of the week. You see what I'm saying? We didn't know who was going to face each other on a Monday, a Sunday night. We didn't know the full Thanksgiving matchups. In fact, I was thrown off completely by this upcoming Thursday Thanksgiving schedule. I thought for sure that it was going to be the Lions and the Bills, but that turned out to not be the case. It's going to be Detroit hosting Chicago for the first time since 1997. And I remember that game like it was yesterday. Barry Sanders ran wild. That offense dominated the Bears after getting off a slow start. They were down 14-0, and then they were down 20-10, and they came back and scored 45 unanswered points and won 55-20. It was one of the best Thanksgiving games I've ever seen, one of the best games the Lions ever played ever. That was the last time those two teams made each other on Thanksgiving. Actually, they made each other again on Thanksgiving in 1999, but the game was a lot less memorable. Detroit won 21-17. They were up 21-0, and they held on to win late in the game after Chicago attempted to do a rally. And so these two teams are going to face each other again. It's a long-lasting rivalry. Both teams have some memorable Thanksgiving history between the two, and they're going to renew it this year. It's going to be big. And we could talk, you know, possible NFC North, division supremacy. You have to consider that. And I'm geared up just to see what's going to happen. So strap yourselves up. This should be a good one. It should definitely be a good one. But before we get right back into it, what we're going to do is we're going to take another quick break because we've got a little NBA playoffs to talk about and sadly a little NHL playoffs to talk about. And I say sadly because my team lost last night after my show was over. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. Please don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown podcast. And because today is such a special occasion, we do have one birthday to pass along. And it might not be a good one for him, but it is a birthday nonetheless. Happy 38th birthday to Tim Duncan. We all know who Tim Duncan is. You know, power forward slash center of the Spurs. 6'11", 250, 260 pounds. One of the best, arguably you can say he's the best power forward in the history of the game. He's been playing in the NBA from 1997 all the way up until right now. Four-time NBA champion, three-time NBA Finals MVP, two-time NBA regular season MVP, back-to-back actually from 2002-2003. 14-time NBA All-Star, including the MVP in the 2000 All-Star competition. 10-time All-NBA first team, three-time All-NBA second team, one-time All-NBA third team, eight-time All-Defensive first team, six-time All-Defensive second team, the NBA's Rookie of the Year in 98, as well as the All-Rookie first team, Shooting Stars champion in 2008 during the All-Star competition. He's right now listed as the Spurs' all-time leading scorer, USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year in 2003, and his consensus National Player of the Year in 97, as well as a two-time first-team All-American, three-time NABC Defensive Player of the Year, two-time ACC Player of the Year, and his number 21 was retired by Wake Forest. How about that? Big accomplishments, huh? The guy has done a lot for the game. He's accomplished a whole lot, whether people like that or respect that or not. As of this year, his career average right now is 19.9 points per game, 11.1 rebounds, 3.1 assists, and 2.2 career block shots. The Spurs came off a tough loss against Dallas couple nights ago. They're going to be looking to rebound big in game three as they shift over to Dallas for those next two games. So, nonetheless, happy birthday to them. Many more happy returns. And, you know, if you're the Spurs, you don't want to panic. It's a tough loss. I mean, Dallas is a tough team when it comes to the postseason. They got Dirk Nowitzki. He's been in the league just as long as Tim Duncan has. And they got other pieces on his field that can do some damage. So, that being said, this should be a series that I thought for sure was probably going to be done in four or five games, but it could end up going six. It could end up going six. So, made a better team win. Period. Made a better team win. I also wanted to get into some more NBA playoffs. Last night, I did a show at the Last Tracks Comedy Club in Novi, for those of you who are not really too familiar with the place. Basically, for the most part, I was there. We had a great show overall, part of our Thursday's Rising Star Showcase. I want to send a special shout-out to Jimmy Slim for hosting the show and providing great material and just a great hospitality and allowing guys to get up stage and perform. We got a lot of upcomers, and I feel like such a veteran. I feel so old, man, you know, taking a stage with a lot of these guys because they've been in the league. They've been performing for a short period of time. We got some beginners that were on stage last night, and I feel like I've been one of those guys that's been in the game for so long. 6 years. 6 years in stand-up comedy. 6 years in stand-up comedy. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. That's a long time, ain't it? It is. It is. It really is. And I closed out the show last night. We had a great time. Caught up with some faces. Caught up with a couple of familiar faces from over the years. And we had a great time. But anyway, I stayed at the bar alongside with my friend Jimmy. We watched the final period of the Red Wings game between them and the Bruins. Now, keep in mind, they were up 2-0 in this game. And unfortunately, they ended up losing 3-2 in overtime. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately. I was crushed. I was totally crushed. Totally crushed. Well, speaking of that, it happened. Boston, they got a commanding 3-1 series lead after losing game one. Also, Colorado lost last night in Minnesota 2-1. I thought Colorado was going to close it out, but that turned out to not be the case. This series is now tied at 2. And who would have expected that? Who would have expected that? So they're going back to Colorado for game 5, which will actually take place tomorrow night. Game 6 will be next Monday back in Minnesota. And assuming that there is a game 7, it will be next Wednesday, most likely during the broadcast of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. And yours truly will keep you posted on that. Also, another game that took place last night was between San Jose and Los Angeles. And, boy, it was a high-scoring affair, especially for Los Angeles. They scored 6 goals, and they ended up winning by a score of 6-3. It was mostly a one-sided series up to this point. And I thought San Jose was going to close this one out because they were up 3 games from nothing prior to this matchup. But the game was in Los Angeles. It was a tough environment. The Kings, they didn't want to go out like that, and I don't blame them. So they rallied, they won big, and now they're alive at least one more game. And that will also take place tomorrow night. And if they survive that one next Monday, they'll be back in L.A. for game 6. And that's a big if, because San Jose is tough, and San Jose can get the job done. They just couldn't get it done last night, but they can get the job done last night in this contest. They actually scored 3 goals in the second period, and they added 2 in the third to really close this one out. Big ups to them. Big ups to them. They presented the sweep. They're going to play each other again tomorrow night in San Jose. I expect the Sharks to close it out and move on to the next round, but despite that, it was a good game by the Kings last night. Tonight we got the New York Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers at 7 p.m. New York is up 2 games to 1 in that series. We also got Chicago against St. Louis. The series is tied 2-2. That game will take place at 8 p.m. And then at 10:30 we got Dallas and Anaheim. And that game will be a tough one. That's going to be a tough series. That's definitely going to be a tough series. Well, we're going to end up taking another quick break, and when we come back, eventually, we're going to talk some NFL coverage. We're going to pick up right where we left off on Wednesday, and we're going to get into it, basically. And we left off of week 11, where we talked about some of the matches we're looking forward to, and we might even do a rewind. So, please, stay with us. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is almost 2:30. We're on air till 3 p.m. today and another special 60-minute, another special podcast. This time the 60 minutes as opposed to the usual 30 minutes. Just a quick brief reminder before we went on break. That Dallas-Anaheim hockey game, that series is tied at 2 games apiece. And those 2 teams will take the ice again in Anaheim for game 5 tonight, which should be a good one. The home teams have won every game so far in this series. Now, keep in mind also, I missed last night's show. I missed last night's games in the NBA because I was performing. So I didn't get a chance to watch none of these games, unfortunately. But we saw two top teams, like two really, really good top teams lose on the road. And both teams look to be in trouble a little bit, especially the Pacers. The Pacers responded big after that game 1. They responded big in game 2, but game 3, they just really couldn't cut the deal. This game was mostly close until about the third quarter, where Atlanta started to kind of go on a surge, and then the fourth quarter, they started to go up big. Kyle Korver was hitting 3-point shots. I mean, he was making some really, really good shots in last night's game. In fact, he scored 20. He made 4-7 3-point attempts. He shot 6-9 overall. He was just stroking it. The guy was clutch down the stretch. He still has that shooting ability. Jeff Teague once again led Atlanta in scoring this game. Indiana just can't seem to figure this guy out. Now, it took him 20 shots to get those 22 points because he went 7-20, including 2-6 in 3-point range. But he finished with 22 points and 10 assists. So he was dishing and scoring. As for Indiana, Lance Stephenson led them with 21 points. But Paul George struggled big time. Just 12 points, 3 of 11 shooting, 1 for 4 from 3-point range. Roy Hibbert, once again, having another bad offensive game. Just 4 points and 2 rebounds in 18.5 minutes. He shot 2 for 9 in the game. George Hill went 1 for 11, including 0 for 3 for 3-point range. He only scored 4 points. C.J. Watson came off the bench with just 6 points. At one point, Luis Scola was leading Indiana in scoring. And nothing against him, but if he's leading your team in scoring, that might be a problem, especially coming off the bench. Now, I can understand if he's a star. That's different. But in this case, you don't want a guy like Luis Scola leading your team in scoring when you got so many other options. Now, Roy Hibbert was basically kept on the bench for the final 4.5 minutes of last night's game with just the 4 points, the 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 turnovers in about 18.5 minutes of play. So, according to Coach Frank Vogel, he said that we will see, quotation marks, as far as Roy Hibbert's status for game 4, which would be on Saturday. These two teams will take the court again on Saturday night, and the Pacers need to respond big time. They need to do something. You don't want to be down 3-1, even though you'll be going back home, but you don't want to be down 3-1. You want to tie this game up. So game 4 will be Saturday, 2 o'clock p.m. on TNT. Game 5 will be next Monday, 8 p.m. on NBA TV. And assuming that there is a game 6, it will be next Thursday, the first of the month, May 1st. Times have yet to be announced, but it will be Thursday, May the 1st. Another top team that went down last night was the OKC Thunder, losing a tough one in Memphis. And that game, from what I saw on the highlights, it really came down to the wire. This game was decided in overtime, and Memphis won 98-95. And the two big guys were really, really playing well. And I'm just looking at the score, and I realized that OKC, they were down for much of this game, but they had a chance to win it, because they came back in the fourth quarter outscoring Memphis 24-14 in the quarter. Kevin Durant got his 30 points, but he shot poorly. I mean, OKC, they just haven't found their shooting touch overall in this series. They're struggling to hit shots. I'm talking outside shots for the most part. They shot 39.1% last night. That's not really going to get it done. Against the Memphis team, that does still have a good defense. Maybe not as good as last year, but they know how to close in. They know how to play tough defense on the perimeter and even on the outside, or well, on the inside, you know, when you're coming into the lane. Kevin Durant shot 10 of 27 last night. Russell Westbrook shot 9 of 26. Even some of their bench players, Caron Butler, 0 for 5, Reggie Jackson, 2 for 9. Not really going to get it done. Not really going to get it done at all. And unfortunately, they did get their points. They both had 30 each, but they both took a lot of shots. And Russell Westbrook was just 4 of 13 from three-point range. Kevin Durant, 0 for 8. OKC shot 5 of 28 from three-point range overall. Not going to get it done. Not going to get it done. It's just not going to happen. Meanwhile, for Memphis, they had 6 players in double figures, including Mike Conley, who led them with 20 points. He shot well. Zach Randolph scored 16 points, but he was 5 of 20 last night. He did get 10 rebounds and 6 assists and a couple block shots. Mark Gasol had 14 points. Courtney Lee had 10. And Tony Allen was providing a big spark off the bench. He scored 16 points. Beno Udrih came off the bench and added 12 for for Memphis. But Zach Randolph, though, you gotta play a lot better than that, man. 5 of 20, and you still won. Yeah, might be a little pause for concern there. Game 4 will take place Saturday night, tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. On your local NBA station. So if you have a chance to watch that game, please, I advise that you take advantage of it, because this is going to be an interesting series down the stretch. I thought Russell Westbrook was going to be the difference maker. He hasn't been much of it because they're down 2-1 in this series. And really, they shouldn't be. OKC really should be up 3 games to nothing. That being said, game 4 tomorrow night, they're going to have to rebound big. They're pretty much in the same hole as Indiana. You do not want to be down 3-1. You got to rebound. You got to come back with some urgency and just, you know, do what you did in game 1. Shut them down. You know, try to get good percentage shots. Get on the inside. I know it's tough against the Grizzlies front line, but you got to score a flash like Kevin Durant, who can do some things with his versatility. That will be the way to do it. That will be the way to do it. Also, last night, we had a good game between the Clippers and Golden State. Golden State almost rallied and pulled off an amazing comeback. They were down quite a bit, mostly by 12 points in the fourth quarter, and they almost came back and won. But you can't question Chris Paul's toughness. You can't question Chris Paul's toughness. He played well. Didn't shoot the ball well, but Blake Griffin, oh my God, Blake Griffin was a one-man wrecking crew. Blake Griffin was killing it. Literally, he was killing it. He was killing it. He was really, really killing it. And he scored 32 points last night, but he was hitting some shots, some really incredible shots, including one in the third quarter, which was a tremendous buzzer beater. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He played exceptionally well last night. Scored 32 points and leading the Clippers on the charge. Chris Paul played last night with a bad hamstring. He also suffered a fever. Still went out there, produced with 15 points and 10 assists. DeAndre Jordan had 14 points and 22 rebounds. Blake Griffin had 32 points, 8 rebounds. Shot 15 to 25 from the field and played well. Played exceptionally well. For Golden State, they had 6 guys in double figures, including Klay Thompson, who led them with 26 points. Stephen Curry just scored 16 last night, and that's not really going to get the job done. He's going to have to do a lot more than that if Golden State is really going to have a chance in this series. He shot 5 of 12 last night, 3 from 8 from 3-point range. He did have 15 assists, though, so he was doing a lot of dishing last night. Draymond Green had 13 points and 11 rebounds, so he had a double-double. Andre Iguodala with 11 points, David Lee with 12, Jermaine O'Neal with 10. But for the most part, their defense last night was just playing so horrid. And Blake Griffin really doesn't have much of a post game, y'all. But the fact that he was able to get 13 points and make it look flawless at times, that's a problem if you go to state. That's something that really needs to be addressed. That should never, ever happen again. Not against an average post player. Because Blake really doesn't have any post moves. He does have a little nice spin move, but that can be defended. And if you're Golden State's front line, see, this is where not having Andrew Bogut hurts you, because he's the guy that can close in on the inside. He may not be a tremendous shot blocker, but he is a presence down under. And if you're Blake Griffin, you probably would think twice if you're going to charge at him. And now that he's not in the lineup and he's out for this series, well, what now? What do you do? So, unfortunately, they don't have the guy. And this is something that's going to come back to hurt the Warriors, I think. Game 4 will be this Sunday, 3:30 p.m. The official announce, like the official stations and all that other stuff is yet to be announced, but it will be 3:30 p.m. On your local NBA station. So feel free to check it out if you're out there in the West Coast. Game 5 will be back in L.A. next Tuesday, 10:30 p.m. on TNT. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens the rest of the way. You know, Ed, I'm interested to seeing how Golden State's going to respond from this, because I still think this series could go 6 or 7 games, really. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a serious dogfight. Now, tonight we got 3 games in progress. At 7 p.m. on ESPN2, we got Toronto and Brooklyn. That series is tied at 1, at 1 game apiece. And Brooklyn is going to look to bounce back from a tough game 2 loss. Chicago and Washington will take on each other at 8 o'clock. That game will be on ESPN. Washington is up 2-0 and they're at home for the next 2. They can really close the door. And for their sake, let's hope they do. And at 10:30 p.m., we got Houston and Portland. Portland is up 2-0. That game will be the second doubleheader on ESPN. They're up 2-0 and they're at home for the next 2. They have an opportunity to close the door. How about that? How about that? Well, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to pick up right where we left off with the whole NFL talk. And we're going to get into it. So this is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Don't make my
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is 2:40. We got about 20 more minutes of airtime. We're taking calls at 347-327-9586 just to give you a quick brief wrap-up of the NFL schedule. We picked right back off of Week 11 when we talked about this on Wednesday night. And just looking at the schedule real quickly, for those of you who missed it, we basically ran each week from Week 1 to Week 11 when we talked about potential big matchups and interesting homecomings, certain players, you know, certain teams that are going to be going at it against each other. In Week 11, we got Buffalo on the road against Miami. That's the Thursday night game, so that's something to look forward to. The Sunday game, so Seattle and Kansas City, that's going to be a big one. San Francisco and the Giants, that might be a big one. We got Detroit and Arizona, Calvin Johnson going up against that secondary, you know, Patrick Peterson and the rest of those guys. New England going up against Indianapolis, that's the Sunday night game. And the Monday night game is Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Cincinnati versus New Orleans is going to be a good one as well that week. And we got Philadelphia at Green Bay. So we got some tough matchups. Denver and St. Louis, that's going to be a tough matchup right there in its own. And, of course, the Colts-Patriots game will be the rematch from last season's playoff round, playoff matchup in the division round, which the Patriots took care of business soundly. Week 12, we got Kansas City at Oakland. We did. That's going to be real big because those two teams don't like each other. It's always a big game between those two teams. And then the Sunday games, we got Detroit, New England, Calvin Johnson versus Real Rebus again. We also got games like such as Lovie Smith and Tampa Bay going back to Chicago to face against the Bears. The Cardinals versus the Seattle Seahawks. The Cardinals were the only team to win in Seattle last regular season. We also got Sean Marino and his current team now, the Dolphins, traveling back to Denver to go up against his former team. The Redskins at the 49ers last year, those two teams met on a Monday night, and it was a one-sided matchup. And then the Cowboys at the Giants, that's always a big game between those two teams. 8:30, that's the Sunday night game. And the Monday night game will be Baltimore against New Orleans. We're going to skip ahead because we actually picked back off of Week 14. So we're going to jump over to Week 14. If you haven't seen these, you can check a look. You can take a look at NFL.com. Click on schedules and it'll show you the upcoming 2014 matchups. But we're going to continue to keep kind of moving on a little bit. The Thursday game, Week 14, Dallas at Chicago. And then a Sunday, we always got, this is where you're going to see a lot of division matchups really come into play. You're going to have Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. That's going to be a big one. St. Louis at Washington. What makes that game so interesting is that's basically the RG3 game. The Rams had the second overall pick in 2012. They traded it to the Redskins. The Redskins moved up to take Robert Griffin III, and they haven't looked back, but some people have still questioned that decision even to this day. You got the Panthers and Saints. You also got Colts and Browns. The Trent Richardson game. Trent Richardson will return to Cleveland, this time as a member of the Colts. Tampa Bay at Detroit. What makes that game interesting is last year the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pulled off the upset. This time it'll be revenge factor for Detroit. We got Buffalo at Denver. That's going to be an interesting game. We also got Seattle versus Philadelphia. Defense versus offense. That's going to be a big, big game. That's going to be a really, 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 really big game. I'm looking forward to that one, personally. With all the weapons now that Philadelphia has, even some guys that are going to be coming back from injuries, the acquisition of Darren Sproles and the trade from New Orleans, that's going to be big. That's going to be really, really big. And then we got the Patriots and the Chargers. That's a Sunday night game. And then the Monday night game, the Falcons and Packers. Week 15, we're going to see a rematch of the Thanksgiving game between the Seahawks and the 49ers. That's going to be in Seattle this time on Sunday afternoon. The Thursday game will be Arizona and St. Louis, the other NFC West matchup. And then on the Sunday games, we're going to have some intriguing matchups. The Dolphins at the Patriots is going to be an intriguing one. Raiders and Chiefs again. You're going to see the Packers travel on the road at Buffalo. You're going to see Denver at San Diego. You're going to see Dallas and Philadelphia. You're also going to see Pittsburgh and Atlanta. And that Dallas-Philly game will be the Sunday night game. And on Monday, you're going to see the Saints and the Bears. And that was a good game between those two teams last year. The Saints took care of business. These two teams will face each other once again. Week 16, you're going to see, for the first time, since he departed from the Jets last year, Darrelle Revis going back to New York, this time as a member of the Patriots. He's going to take on his former team, the team that drafted him back in 2007. Now, because it's going to be the weekend before Christmas, you're going to see a Thursday game between the Titans and Jaguars on the NFL Network. Then you're going to see two Saturday games. Both games are expected to be at 4:30. It looks like one game is going to be on CBS, the other is going to be on the NFL Network, Saturday, December 20th. You got San Diego and San Francisco. That's going to be an offense-defense matchup. And you're going to have Philadelphia against Washington. So you're going to see DeSean Jackson go up against his former team yet again. And then Sunday, you're going to see some intriguing matchups. Detroit-Chicago, that would be the rematch from Thanksgiving. You're also going to see the Falcons and Saints. That's always going to be a big game. You're also going to see Green Bay take on Tampa Bay on the road, where they struggled in recent years. You're going to see Kansas City and Pittsburgh. You're going to see that Patriots and Jets game. And you're also going to see the Colts and the Cowboys. That's going to be an intriguing matchup. Andrew Luck will go one-on-one with Tony Romo for the first time ever. And you're going to see the Seahawks against the Cardinals. That game will be the Sunday night game on NBC. And the Monday night game will be the Broncos and Seahawks. And that could be a possible NFC Championship preview. You never know. You never know. But it could certainly be a playoff preview in its own. And you're also going to see in Week 17 to close out the regular season, you're going to see, and that Broncos-Bengals game is going to be the final Monday night game of the regular season as well. And there's not going to be a Sunday night game. There's not going to be any primetime games. All the games will be on Sunday afternoon. And they're all going to be divisional matchups. So with that being said, I'm looking at it right now. I would have to say Detroit at Green Bay, that's going to be a big one. Dallas and Washington, Carolina and Atlanta, that could be big. The Jets and Dolphins, Eagles and Giants, those are all going to be big games. All divisional matches are always big games. Then you're going to see Cardinals and 49ers, Rams and Seahawks. All of these games are big. We're going to see division being determined, wild card spot, playoff seeds, who's going to be number one. And I like what they have done over the years with divisional matchups in Week 17. It just goes to show you how valuable divisional matchups are in the NFL. And they mean an awful lot. They really do. So with that being said, you have to really, really take that into consideration and really respect that. So if for those of you who haven't seen these games, you can check them out on the NFL Network, the NFL website, NFL.com. Just click on schedules, it'll take you right to the 2014 matchup. And again, you're going to see the playoff games, playoff wild card games. ESPN will be broadcasting a wild card game for the first time in its broadcasting history. The last time ESPN came close to broadcasting a playoff game was back in the early 2000s with the whole AFC format, back when AFC and ABC and ESPN were merged together. Basically, ABC broadcasted, you know, Monday night games, and they broadcasted, you know, one of the wild card games in the Monday night format of the broadcasting game. So you're going to see ESPN broadcasting, which is good because, you know, over the years I've noticed that NBC got to broadcast two wild card games. So it's nice that you have NBC, Fox, CBS, and ESPN broadcasting four wild card games. Four wild card games, four different stations. I kind of like that. Good for ESPN to step up and say, hey, we want in on this too. Can we do it? You know? Why not? You know? So I'm gearing up, man. I am gearing up. I cannot wait to see some of these matchups. These games are going to be some big, big games. I cannot freaking wait. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be popping. I can't wait. I cannot wait. It's gonna be awesome. If you don't get your tickets, you better get your tickets now. just to do a quick recap of the regular season opener, you know, week one, the first game, 2014, Thursday, September 4th, Packers, Seahawks, rematch of the Fail Mary game that took place on Monday night back in 2012. Golden Tate will not be a part of this game, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sad to announce that. The Sunday games, you're going to see the Saints and Falcons, Vikings and the Rams, Browns, Steelers, Jaguars, Eagles, Raiders, Jets, Bengals and Ravens, Bills and Bears, Redskins and Texans, Titans and Chiefs, Patriots and Dolphins, and those are the 1 o'clock games. The 2:25 p.m. games will be the Panthers and Buccaneers and the 49ers and Cowboys. The Sunday night game will be between the Colts and the Broncos. Peyton Manning this time will be playing against his former team, but he'll be hosting his former team. The Colts beat the Broncos last year, and you can rest assured the Broncos will be looking for some revenge. Monday, September the 8th, Monday night doubleheader. The Giants against my team, the Lions, at 7 p.m., and then at 10:30 is going to be the Chargers and Cardinals. Those are going to be good matches, too. All these are going to be good matchups, really, because you never know what your teams are going to look like. Somebody's going to step up and do something. That's what makes the NFL so prestigious. You never know who's going to step up and who's going to play their best football. Sometimes you got a team that rises to the occasion, and you got players that rise to the occasion. And you just never know who's going to do what. You just never know. So that being said, I can't wait. I can't wait. And, of course, the preseason is going to take place in the month of August. And if you haven't been notified of that yet, I advise that you do check it out. The first preseason game will take place in the month of August, probably the first week of August. It'll be between the Giants and the Bills. Sunday, August the 3rd on ESPN, the classic Hall of Fame game is what it's projected to be. An interstate matchup. This will be the Bills' first game without owner Ralph Wilson, who passed away a few weeks back. And this will be kind of like a memorable matchup if you think about, you know, the Super Bowl between these two teams that they faced off against each other many years ago. Also, we're less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Get ready. Especially you, Houston Texans. Get yourselves ready. You got the number one overall pick, and you're going to have some enticing options. Get ready. It's going to be off the chart. As we come to the end of our show, I just want to let you all know, next week I'll be back at Laugh Tracks on Monday. Next Tuesday I'm expected to be at New Dodge in Hamtramck. Laugh Tracks will be in Novi next week, Monday. I'm actually going to be back there next Thursday again as well for the Rising Stars Showcase. Next Wednesday we'll be back on air, 7 p.m., for the Rocket Sports Breakdown. And we're also going to, yours truly is also going to be in a music video tomorrow for my man Kajon. So I'm going to be there supporting him. Also got a film audition later on in the day. We're gearing up for it. We're gearing up for it. Thank you all for tuning in to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Thank you for listening in to our hourly podcast. We'll be back on air next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Looking forward to it. Feel free to check out the hockey games. Feel free to check out the basketball games. We've got some big matches that are going to be happening. We got some baseball games that are going to be in progress. We actually got some baseball games that are currently in progress right now. But feel free to check out the games. We got games happening right now. We got games happening later tonight. Check your local listings, your time schedules, everything. Check out the whole enchilada. And by the way, Yankees right-handed pitcher, and this is actually kind of funny, I forgot to put this out there, but their right-handed pitcher, such a bona fide idiot, Michael Pineda, was suspended 10 games by using pine tar on his neck. That was so stupid. But he's been suspended for the next 10 games, and that'll teach you, don't put tar on your neck, because people will see it, okay? That'll do it for the Rocket Sports Breakdown. On behalf of Rocket signing off, Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. We'll see you next time.